should be coming up.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks, Sabine, for the introduction. Usually a talk does not start with an apology, especially first talk of a session, but I do need to apologize. There's supposed to be 8 co-authors on this cover page, but I was so lazy, I just took an old cover page and used it, and just to realize the problem when I look at this morning. I couldn't change it, but I do need to apologize to those co-authors. There's supposed to be 8 names on there, but now you can guess who I am, at least. my name is Xun Shi, and in the past four years, I have been working with USDA NRCS staff to develop and test a digital soil mapping approach and the corresponding software package. The software package is called ArcSIE. ArcSIE stands for Soil Inference Engine, as an ArcGIS extension. We have applied this approach and tested the corresponding software ArcSIE to a real NRCS soil mapping project in Essex County, Vermont. And this approach and ArcSIE software are actually a continued effort of the Solim approach, S-O-L-I-M, and the software tools, Solim's software tools developed by Professor Axing Zhu at the University of Wisconsin Madison. So if you know Solim before, you can consider ArcSIE as an extended and advanced version of Solim. In this title, I include 3 major issues. I would like to share some thoughts. They are raster soil mapping, knowledge-based approach, and a software tool that's supposed to be used by real soil scientists in their daily soil mapping and soil survey and mapping practice. And to discuss this thought, we can start with this Janice model. I think this is the model soil scientists are most familiar with. This model states that soil is a product of its environment, and the soil can be inferred from its environment. This is the basis. This model is the basis of the current soil survey and mapping. At the center of this model is the F, which is the relationship between soil and its environment. And generally, in digital soil mapping, we can have 2 approaches to build this relationship, this F, that's between soil and its environment, or establish F. The first approach is called knowledge-based approach, which relies on human knowledge, particularly soil scientists' knowledge of local soils and the landscape. A soil scientist may have spent many years in the field and accumulated much experience and the knowledge of the local soils and their formative environments. The soil scientist is able to build the soil landscape model based on this knowledge, and this is basically what NRCS soil scientists are doing every day. And in digital soil mapping, our task is to retrieve this knowledge from the soil scientist and represent it in a way that can be handled by the computer. The second approach, different from the first approach, which is knowledge-based, the second approach has become a hot topic in academia. Many professors at the university are doing research on this second approach. This approach tries to use computation, including statistical methods, geostatistical methods, machine learning methods, etc., to automatically build the soil landscape model. And as expected, this second approach is a computation-based approach, rely on a large amount of samples. And these samples can be from field work, from soil scientist knowledge, and from existing soil maps, so on. ArcSIE, this specific approach and this specific this specific software package, this specific approach supports the first approach, the knowledge-based approach. And The advantages of the knowledge-based approach within NRCS can be easily justified. NRCS has a huge knowledge tank, and this approach very well matches that NRCS soil scientists are doing every day. So the efficiency and economics of this approach, of the knowledge-based approach, are obvious. However, the ArcSI approach is not simply mimicking. It's not simply mimicking what the soil scientists are currently doing with their pens. Mapping with the computer and the mapping with a pen are quite different. A very fundamental difference here is that the computer can easily utilize raster information and generate raster maps. And of course, we human can also use raster data. But when a soil scientist is working with a DEM, with a digital elevation model, usually he or she would want to see contour lines from those pixel values rather than directly working on those pixel values. The computer, on the other hand, works on pixels. And this is why I call our approach and other similar approaches, ArcSI or Solomon approach, are not the only approach available. And I call our approach and other similar approaches raster soil mapping rather than generally digital soil mapping. And you can call any mapping process involving computer digital, but I would say that it is this raster that makes our approach is essentially different from conventional soil mapping performed by NRCS. And this shift from vector to raster is much more than just a data format issue, not just a technical issue. It is fundamental and profound. It has fundamental and profound implications and consequences. And we can, I am going to show some details in a few minutes. And after all, ArcSIE was developed to be used by NRCS soil scientists. It aims to replace the pen in a soil scientist's hand, but not the soil scientist him or herself. However, it will take some effort to really drop the pen and pick up ArcSIE. And I think any good thing takes effort. And if it does not take effort, it's not good. I can guarantee that, I think. So a take-home message. I'm not ending in the middle. The take-home message is ArcSIE is a soil scientist to implement. It's for soil scientists to implement knowledge-based raster soil mapping. So the first thing I would like to discuss is soil raster soil mapping. First, I believe we did not intentionally adopt raster mapping. We were somewhat unconsciously driven by the data and technology. One day when we opened our eyes, everything became raster. The primary reason for the development of raster mapping is the environmental data. The environment data we're using for soil mapping have become more and more raster, including DEM and its derivatives and the remote sensing data. A generic raster mapping process can be illustrated by this slide. The input layers, intermediate layers, and output map are all in raster. The computer works on pixels. Raster mapping is certainly a good thing. Its two major advantages include, first, it's more accurate and precise because pixels are small, pixels are much smaller than polygon. And many reasons for this. For example, it can take advantage of those accurate and precise environmental data in raster format like DEM and satellite images. It can implement fuzzy logic, which is a much better way to represent continuous features like soil. And second, it is efficient and economic, mainly because it is performed by the computer. The computer operations can be easy, cheap, fast, and consistent. And this is just a quick illustration of fuzzy, because I mentioned the fuzzy soil mapping. By fuzzy, I mean usually we do not set a clear-cut boundary when we describe a soil. We want the knowledge to be gradually varied over all the environmental features. And the result from a fuzzy soil mapping is not, as conventionally a single soil map, but a series of soil maps, fuzzy membership maps. One represents the similarity between the soil at a location to a given soil type. It's a series fuzzy membership soil maps. And if we want to generate a conventional soil map based on the fuzzy membership soil maps, we can integrate them through a hardening process to generate a conventional kind of vector map. Okay, raster mapping is certainly a good thing. However, any good thing has cost and takes effort. The good raster mapping also impose some critical challenges. Here I only list the two major ones. First, it may not match the current mindset of a soil scientist, especially NRCS soil science. Specifically, the primary question in the conventional vector mapping and the raster map and the current raster mapping are fundamentally different. The primary question asked in the conventional soil mapping and in raster mapping are fundamentally different. In conventional soil mapping, the primary question a soil scientist asking is, where should be the boundary? Where should I set the clear-cut boundary? But in raster mapping, there's no line to draw. And it's all about pixels. Especially in fuzzy mapping, the primary question the soil scientist needs to answer is, where is the most typical situation? This can be illustrated by this. So our major concern shifts from the marginal areas. In vector soil mapping, our concentrations are on those marginal areas, but in raster mapping, especially in fuzzy soil mapping, our primary concern about the center, most typical area. I think this is a fundamental change. Second, the immediate output from raster mapping may not be compatible with the current soil mapping standard, which may lead to many issues in map creation and the map interpretation. The current standard was created based on and for the conventional vector mapping. Sometimes we have to back up a little bit to meet the current standard. For example, RKSIE provides some post-processing tools for this purpose to make the raster map to back up a little bit to meet the current vector standard. Okay, this is all I want to talk about this morning about the raster mapping. The second issue I'd like to share some thoughts is about the knowledge-based approach. The main thing here is to extract the knowledge from the soil scientist and represent it in a way that can be handled by the computer. For this purpose, we analyzed soil scientist knowledge into different types and find appropriate inference methods for different types. We classify soil scientist knowledge based on their geographic coverage and their representations. Some knowledge cover the entire mapping area, and we call it the global knowledge. And some knowledge only cover local regions, and we call them local knowledge. Some is better represented as parameter values, and some can be represented by geographic locations. And this shows an example of global knowledge. And this shows an example of a local knowledge. Only on this slope, soil A occurs between 8% and 20% gradients. And this is an example about the knowledge represented by environmental values. That 8% and 20% slope gradient are environmental values for specific environment factor. Oops, sorry. What did I do? Okay, then this is an example of knowledge represented by geographic location. And different types of knowledge require different inference methods. RKSIE implements two inference techniques, rule-based reasoning and case-based reasoning. Rule-based reasoning basically implements if-then rules. For example, if the gradient is between 8% and 20%, the soil is A. This type of inference is suitable for global knowledge about environmental values. Case-based reasoning solves a new problem by comparing it with a solved problem. For example, if the gradient here is similar to the gradient on that spur, then the soil here is A because the soil on that spur is A. It is suitable for local knowledge about the geographic location. And we developed 7 integrated steps to take advantage of all different types of knowledge and the inference method. The general idea is to first use global knowledge and the rule-based reasoning to create a draft map showing the general pattern of soil distribution. Then use local knowledge and case-based reasoning to fine-tune this draft map. Okay, this is second issue, knowledge-based approach, and this is what we come up with, a 7-step integrated process to take advantage of all types of soil scientist knowledge. And as I mentioned, raster mapping, the whole purpose here is to develop a software tool that can be used by soil scientists, by NRCS soil scientists in their daily work to meet this requirement. In the design, we ask these questions. We set this general principle. The user is the soil scientist. We ask this question in our design, is this too useful? How easy can a soil scientist learn to use it? How easy can a soil scientist use in his or her daily work? And we set these principles during the design development. The whole most important thing here is we want to maintain a very close communication between the developer and the soil scientist. And indeed, in the past 4 years, we have maintained a very close communication with soil scientists, and we test the software package approach and ask a real soil scientist to test this software package and this approach and get feedback from them. And this, I don't have time to. Anyone know more information? This is the website. Thank you very much.
Thank you for Dr. Xi and his colleagues. Now, we have no time for questions. We have to move on to the next talk because we otherwise get behind schedule. I'm calling our next speaker, that is Dr. Vasquez, analysis on spatial scaling behavior of soil organic carbon in Florida from the University of Florida.